While Jesus was speaking to the crowds, his mother and brothers appeared outside, wishing to speak with him. Someone told him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside asking to speak with you." But he said in reply to the one who told him, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hands towards his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is brother, sister, and mother to me." So the gospel of the Lord. Both the gospel and the feast bring me with more than ordinary attention to this date. My mother's name was Bridget, not the sweetest Bridget of the feast, but a kind of St. Catherine of Siena figure working for unity in the church in the 14th century, but the Irish Bridget of antiquity. On a visit to Ireland, one of my farmer cousins, who is very knowledgeable in the religious folklore of Ireland, took me to the graveyard in Ballyvourna, where some of my ancient relatives are buried. The site included an abandoned Church of England, and then a most interesting curiosity, a steel ball set in a stone wall which was thought to have curative powers for cattle in ancient times. But the crowning feature of the place was a large black granite statue of Bridget in her flowing Kerry cape, a really beautiful piece of art. There was also the prayer custom of the Stations of St. Bridget. You picked up a stone and scratched the sign of the cross on the 14 stones that pilgrims had marked before you and said an Our Father and Hail Mary. But the name of Bridget had a more powerful place in my memory. When my mother was immigrating to the United States in the 20s, her sister Annie in San Francisco told her to change her name as she entered the U.S. at Ellis Island. At that time, Bridget was a demeaning term, a word accompanied a culture of discrimination. Irish need not apply in the city of San Francisco. As an old woman, my mother grieved over the loss of her real name, Bettine, little Bridget. We only had known her as Delia, and always we called her Mom anyway. A few years ago, I went to San Francisco to see one of my students from Korea become a U.S. citizen. As part of the program, they showed the early grainy films of Ellis Island with its flickering motions of early travelers with their strange and awkward parcels, seeking a new life in a new land. I had tears in my eyes as I realized, as an adult, what I could never have appreciated as a child. But then something remarkable happened. The master of ceremonies, a brilliant linguist, began to welcome people in their native tongues, not two or three familiar languages, but 20 or 30 from all parts of the globe. It was a veritable Pentecost experience. And all the newcomers then stood and said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and became fully welcome in their new country. The gospel only intensifies this sense of family and a welcoming community. Over the past exile times in Judea, there had been the tendency to narrow the sense of inclusion to those members of the community who did not intermarry with non-Jewish people, who observed the circumcision and Sabbath customs. You catch something of that today in the neoconservative religious movements that abound. Jesus seems to be expanding the sense of inclusion as he asks, "Who is my mother?" We catch a ray of hope in this in our wonderful spirit of our Pope Francis. There's a strong expansion of his question as he stretches out his hand and says, "Here are my mother, my brothers, my sisters. For whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is brother and sister and mother to me." In our time, the phrase "the people of God" has something of this sense of inclusion as a notion of the church that is enriched by all those people of God who wish to respond to Jesus and God the Father as best they can. The church is enriched by the diversity and beauty of background of people who also enter into Christ. The Bridget Shrine in Kerry is not only a clear affirmation of Christ and the people of God, but has a reference in response to the response of the ancient peoples to an evolving sense of the divine from the beginning. We also need to be grounded in the experiences of our ancestors and enriched by our mothers and fathers from the past. Recently, I discovered an attempt to link a remarkable ancient proclamation of the divine from the oral culture of Ireland's most ancient past. We become grounded in the best expressions of our ancestors and then move into the living family of the people of God, summoned by the love of Jesus into a fuller, more explicit realization of the life of the Father. This prayer poem, attributed to Amargin, the verse translated from the Druid language by Douglas Hyde, a poet, scholar, and also the first president of Ireland in modern times. I'm the wind that breathes upon the sea. I am the wave of the ocean. I am the murmur of the billows. I am the ox of the seven combats. I am the vulture upon the rock. I'm the fairest of the plants. I'm the wild boar in valor. I'm a salmon in the water. I'm a lake in the plain. I'm a word of knowledge. I am the point of the lance in battle. I am the God who creates in the head the fire. Who is it who throws light into the meeting on the mountain? Who announces the age of the moon, if not I? Who reaches the place where the sun couches, if not I? Struck by the expansive visions of these ancient voices, both refreshingly new and somehow familiar, we answer again the gospel challenge of who is my mother, sister, and brother to me. In the glory of Christ, our loving Savior.